Who can tell me what one must believe to be saved? Last week we gave you three. Okay, a sinner. We call that a sin problem, specifically last week, but that's accurate. Okay. You have to believe in it. I call it a specific person. There's a couple things you have to believe about Jesus. Jesus is God in the flesh, and that he's the only way to God. Okay, so a specific person. So you have a sin problem, a specific person, and substitutionary payment, and Jesus died and rose. Yeah, the resurrection. So substitutionary payment and resurrection. Every time you see the gospel shared in the Bible, it's not, hey, you want to hear the good news? Jesus died. It's Jesus died for your sins and rose again. You always see that together. That's a part of the gospel. Now, for most of you, if not all of you, today is going to be a review of the five fingers. Remember five-finger plan? There's two things. One is, what does it take to be saved? That's what we talked about last week. How do I go about sharing the gospel is what we're going to talk about this week. There's different ways to do it. Okay, this isn't the only way, but you have to have a way. And I think this is a good one. I developed this one after having taken a personal evangelism course that I had to memorize 97 verses on, and I still didn't feel like I could share the gospel well. It's not that I didn't know a lot of verses then. I just, okay, how do I go about sharing? How do I get there? Okay? So I developed this, and I'm sure I've refined it, you know, over the years. But it's easy to remember, it's easy to review, and it covers all of the essentials. And it's very logical. You know, you go down your fingers. Okay, so you don't really have to, okay, what's the next point? No, the next point is the next finger. Okay, so it's easy to go progress there. And it's also kind of fun. A little bit, okay? So, I have stuff to hand out, but we're going to go over it first. Because the idea is for you to remember it, not to write it down. Fair? Because to share the gospel, you have to memorize the gospel. And you have to memorize a way to share the gospel. It doesn't have to be complex. This isn't complex. It doesn't have to be hard. This isn't hard. And it has to cover everything, right? And it has to be accurate. One of the concerns, I just had a little chat with Dory about there's different plans, but some of the plans are not accurate. Like, okay, maybe you've come across this, but if you died today, do you know you go to heaven? That's an analysis question. If people don't know for sure, or if they do, it's like, okay, what would you say if you died and God said, I won't let you into my heaven? Well, what's the focus of that? You might be able to analyze what people believe based on that, but the focus is heaven. You don't get saved to get into heaven. The issue is not heaven, is it? The issue is what? Your relationship with God and sin that breaks that relationship, right? That, even what our key verses are, 2 Corinthians 5, we're ambassadors for Christ, and it's as if God is speaking through us, be reconciled to God. The issue is not, should I go to heaven or not? The issue is, are you right with God or not? The issue is our sin, right? And some plans of salvation, which I believe are inaccurate, and what if you someone gives you a map to get somewhere, but it tells you the wrong directions and doesn't get you there, what's the value of the map? Does the map, instead of help you, doesn't it hurt you? Can it give you false information and then you end up going the wrong direction? That's the same thing with the wrong plan of salvation. A lot of people will say, okay, all you need to do is ask Jesus into your heart. Well, number one, the Bible never tells you to do that. Okay, never ever does it even use any kind of phrasing at all. Does it? If you tell people that and you say, okay, you've asked Jesus into your heart, now you're saved, what if they don't know who Jesus is? What if they don't know about their sin? What if they don't know about Jesus dying on the cross as a substitute for them? Can they be saved? You just told them that they could. Okay, do you understand that? And then you're giving wrong information, maybe with good intentions, but it's wrong. Okay? Some people say, you know, accept Jesus as your Lord or something. You have to understand that people get saved because of what God told them they would get saved, not because of anything that somebody has made up. Okay? And I just want to emphasize that the gospel means sharing accurately what God has told us. And anything else may be well-intended, but good intentions don't mean anything. Bottom line, it might be a wrong map. Or you're giving... I've met many people in my time now that, oh, I've done that. You've done what? I've asked Jesus to save me. Really? Who's Jesus? I don't know. Who, you know, what's he done? I don't know. I prayed. I did what people told me, and they said, I'm going to heaven. Woohoo! And they have no idea, and people have told them wrongly. And so they don't understand it, and therefore I believe they've been falsely led to believe they're saved when they're really not. Because they haven't been explained clearly and accurately the gospel as it's revealed in the Bible. Marvin, you have something?
Well, I went for when I was young boy, 10 years ago.
Right, you went forward. Yeah. Part of the reason for doubts is people give the wrong measures. I mean, I doubted even through into adulthood because people said, well, if you don't remember what you said when you prayed, well, it's like, I don't even remember what I ate yesterday. And you're asking me to remember what I did as a young boy. And it's like, I don't recall that the Bible says that you have to remember something, let alone pray for it. Okay? Or going forward or whatever. And that going forward, there's nothing wrong with going forward, but going forward doesn't save you, does it? It's believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. It doesn't say anything about going forward or not going forward. Right? It's who Jesus is and what he's done. That's the key. You have to have an accurate gospel, and anything else at the very least confuses people, and sometimes it actually may mislead them. It may lead them in the wrong direction. Well, and I understand what they're saying, do you want to go to heaven? But that's not the issue, that we can't go to heaven. The issue is that we're not right with God. Okay? That's the bottom line. So that's what my development here of this plan, whether you use this or another plan, you need a plan. You need a plan that you memorize and that you can simply explain. 97 verses didn't help me to explain the gospel. Maybe I understood some things a little better. Okay? So, let's just do this. And it's not hard. That's why I'm not giving you any sheets yet, okay? It's if you just think about your hand, and you have to bring just one hand. Now, Les, I'm going to walk you through this too, because you can't see my hand, but you can certainly do it. And I always teach people, you know, all you have to do is carry one of your hands with you, and you always have your plan with you, and you can review it. You can review it in the grocery line. You can review it anywhere because you have your hand. That's what I like about it too. It's not something rote memory. It's built upon a mnemonic, something that helps you to remember. So the first one is make a fist and then put your thumb up. Okay? God is holy. Straight up, Les. There you go. God is holy. So you're straight up, like thumbs up, right? And then I just turn it straight down. But I'm a sinner, right? God is holy, thumb up. I'm a sinner. Starts with a thumb. Now, the basic is, I call it the P's, okay? The problem is sin. Got it? I remember years ago, I was asking one of my kids, what's your problem? He goes, sin! I just like, yes, it is your problem. Okay. So the problem is sin, and you say, God is holy, thumb up, and I'm a sinner. Right? That's the issue. And let me tell you some verses. You don't even have to remember all these. But the problem is what? Sin. God is holy, and I'm a sinner. Jesus answered and said to him, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's John 3:3. John 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Okay, the problem is not I'm out of heaven. Bummer, I can't go to heaven. It's like I can't go to, you know, my cousins, you know, because I've been bad or something. No, the problem is I'm in a broken relationship with God. God is holy and I'm sinful, right? The problem is sin. Thumbs up, God is holy, and I'm a sinner. That's a problem. Okay? And that illustrates it too, right? You just see it. It's like God's this way, and I'm upside down. I'm the opposite. Okay? So the problem is sin, okay? The second one is the next finger, right? You just work your way down your fingers. So the problem is sin. We used to do like this, but I brought in the holiness of God. You know, so you can say the problem is sin. And then the penalty is you take your index finger and point it like you're pointing, and then you brush it across like you're kicking somebody out. Ow! You know, your problem is the penalty is separation. Okay? Separation. So you take your finger less and point it out, and then just like this. You're like, you're out, okay? The penalty is separation, out of here, get out of here kind of thing. The penalty is separation. Now, why do we say separation? The wages of sin is death. Well, what is death? Now, we spent actually 6 months going in detail about this, but there's at least three kinds of death. You want to help me with those? There's physical death, and we're all familiar with physical death, aren't we? Huh? Right? We all know people that have died, and we know that one day we shall die, right? Our body will cease to be alive. Let me ask you this. What happens at physical death? People don't cease to exist, right? We go to visitation. The body's still there, right? But we say they're gone, right? What has happened? What is death? What is death? They cease to exist? No. What happens at death? When somebody dies, what happens? Their body's still there, right? Everything physically that they had before is still there. Everything now, you know, starts degenerating, but what happened? Yeah. The soul, or you could say the immaterial, the soul and spirit, separate, right, from the body, right? The soul separates from the body. Right? And we talked that way, that they're gone to a better place. Well, their body's here. Well, what has happened? They've separated from their body. And the Bible teaches that. You're absent from the body, and what? Present with the Lord. Right? So physical death is separation from the soul, separating from the body. Okay? What's another kind of death? Ooh, okay. There's spiritual death. What is spiritual death? No, that's a good idea, but what is death? It's separation. So we're not talking about something that, when we say die, that sounds like it's no longer there. That's not what's true, right? What is spiritual death? Let me give you a hint. Adam, there's two trees in this garden. There's one called the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And the day you eat of it, you shall not eat that tree. And the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now, I don't know about you, but I read in my Bible that Adam ate of the fruit and his eyes were opened. Pinch, pinch. I'm still here. What happened? Something separated from something else. Now God, who he talked with before, comes, they hear him. Adam and Eve hear God walking in the cool of the day. We just read that, right? And what does Adam do? He and his wife run and hide in the trees of the garden. And he says, where are you? Something's changed. Yeah, their relationship. Spiritual death is not anything ceasing to exist. It's separation from God. Got it? So people that are spiritually dead are separated. Whoops. Separated from God. Now, did Adam physically die when he ate the fruit? No, but we believe it began there. His physical death started the countdown when he ate of that fruit. But what happened the day of it? At that very moment, he was separated from God. All of a sudden, his relationship changed. He doesn't want to run and see God now. Now he wants to run away from God. And all of a sudden, God has to do something. Adam tries to, all of a sudden, he is sin aware, and he makes a garment of leaves. And God says, it's not going to work. It has to be something that sheds blood, right? Kind of a picture of what's to come. So he makes them garments out of skins, animal skins, which means an animal had to die for that to take place. Kind of a picture of the death of Christ to come, but separated from God. The Bible also says, too, we were once dead in our trespasses and sins. That's Ephesians 2. We're dead in trespasses and sins. So we're separated from God. Okay? We're physically alive, but we're not connected to God. The illustration I've used in the past is this. Some of you remember this. AM and FM, right? It's like, what's a radio now? You know, kids are like, what, is that like an iPod? Yeah, kind of like an iPod, okay? But it's like, it used to be when you finally, cars started coming out with a radio, it was only AM, right? Amplified modulation or something like that. It was only AM. And then when FM came out, AM didn't even, if you had an AM radio and it didn't have the FM band on it, your radio didn't know anything about FM. You were dead to FM. You were separate. You didn't have any connection to FM at all. Why? Because you weren't even wired for FM. The only thing you understood was AM. That's what is one illustration of what an unsaved person doesn't have any connection with God. They're spiritually dead. They're not aware. Okay? They're not spiritually alive, the Bible says. You're saved. You're born again. You're reborn, if you will. I'll give you the other one. Is eternal death. Which, in reality, is spiritual death forever. The Bible says, I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God in Revelation 20. And books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and hell, or Hades, delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to their works. And then it says, then death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. It's eternal separation from God. Okay? So the people in the lake of fire, now, even though they experience God today in His mercy and grace on earth, to some degree or another, that God holds them together, God lets them have air and sun and work and all, even though they might deny Him, ultimately they will not have that experience because God will be permanently separated from them. And they will be permanently separated from God. That's the second death. Okay? Or eternal death. They don't stop existing. They're separated from God forever. Death is separation. So the problem then is sin, right? Holy God, sinful self. The problem is sin. The penalty, point your finger and swing it out, is separation. Death is separation. You have to understand that. It's not ceasing to exist, right? It's I am not worthy of God anymore. I have sinned and therefore I'm separated from God. All right? The wages of sin is death. There's punishment. There's the curse. There's guilt that comes from there. All right? So the problem, thumbs up and then down. Problem is sin. God is holy and I'm a sinner. The penalty, finger, and then you swing it out, is separation. Now, keep your finger. I point it up again. Okay? And then bring your middle finger and put it in front of it. Just like this. Watch this. I bring my middle finger up and I just put it in front. Yeah, perfect. That's what you did. Just like that. Okay? It's almost like you're crossing your fingers. The middle finger comes in front of the other. God's provision, by the way, if you're sharing the gospel, you don't even have to use those big words. That helps you remember. But what did God do for us? He provided a substitute, right? This finger's taking the place of that finger. Okay? But God commends His love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Remember that key word, for us. That's the key word for substitute. Substitute is somebody's doing something for somebody else. Christ died for us. Right? You just bring that. I have a finger. My pointer finger is pointing straight up, and I bring that other one just up in front. Christ died for us. But He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Okay? And you don't need 1,000 verses to prove that. But try to remember one or even the phrase, Christ died for us. Or even John 3:16, right? God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That kind of gives a little bit of the idea. Okay? Now the next one here, as you have that in place, okay, watch this. You have this in place. Your thumb is on your ring finger at this point because that's where you have to have it. To have it out of your way. All you do is let that ring finger go up. Boing, straight up. So you have it like this. Put your fingers are down like this at this point. And this one's this way. Now all you do is spring this one up. Boing. Ray Pogeman used to just get the biggest kick out of that. Boing, boing, I just spring it up. The proof is what? Resurrection, right? So you cover the resurrection. Jesus died for our sins and rose again. Boing. Raised. Boing, 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 boing. Yes. Right. He rose once. He rose once. Okay. But the proof is resurrection. He is not here, for He is risen, as He said. How do we know that Jesus told the truth? He was who He says He was. That when He died for us, it was really God dying for us because He rose again. Right? So the problem is, sin, thumb up, God is holy, I'm a sinner. Okay, the penalty then is separation, right? And then the provision, you bring your pointer finger straight up and you say, Jesus died for us. He took our penalty for us. Okay, He was our substitute. How do we know that He was for real? Because, boing, He rose again. Okay? So far, so good? We got the sin problem, right? The special person we've dealt with, boing, substitution, payment, resurrection. Now, the plan of salvation, what we talked to you last week, what must one believe to be saved, right? That's what we talked about. So now, what must we do? What's my part? Okay? And what do we do there? Then I just bring up my pinky straight up. That's the letter I in sign language. You know? But it's the smallest finger, too. What must I do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So the pinky's just straight up, Les. There you go, just like that. Yep. Pinky straight up. That's the last finger. You just work your way down. What must I do to be saved? What's my part? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he would say, not just believe, because a lot of politicians believe, but they don't have anything they believe in, right? It's to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, who he is and what he's done. Okay? He's the Son of God. He's a substitutionary payment. He died on the cross and rose again for me, right? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. That's the clearest answer to the clearest question. The Philippian jailer runs in Acts 16. He says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, well, go to church, get baptized, get some money, get a button or two, you know, wear a tie. No, they didn't give you 30 points and 15 steps. They told them one step. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. One step. And all these tracts have 5 steps, 10 steps, you know. Pray this prayer. They forgot to tell him to pray. Why? Because they didn't need to pray. Okay? So let's go out again. And then I'll give you the booklets you can fill out. Okay? The problem is sin. God is holy, thumbs up, and then down. I'm a sinner. That leads me to finger number 2, right? Right? Not hard. Pointer finger. The penalty is separation. Right? We're separated from God. We're not right with God now. So there's a problem. We are not right because of our sin. We have a penalty. We're going to be punished for that. We're separated from God. The third one, we just bring the finger straight up, and then we bring the middle finger in front of it. The provision of God is a substitute. God sent Jesus to die on the cross for us. Christ died for our sins. For our sins. The sins of us, literally. Okay? A substitute. God provided someone to take our place. The Son, His only begotten Son died on the cross. How do we know it's true? Boing. Jesus rose from the dead, right? Yeah. A lot of people are like, boing. And then, what must I do? What's my part? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll be saved. And and you go back, Christ died for our sins and rose again. Do you believe that? You must believe that in order to be saved. The Bible says that. Okay? All right, we got 10 minutes. You've seen these before, if you've been around at all. I actually took pictures of my hand. So sorry about that. It's my hand. And the only thing missing is the key P words, I think, or B word, depending. So we made these from tracks before. We made these in the tracks. There was no blanks in them before. We made them just to kind of, you know, so someone can hand this out too, right? The only thing different about these is that they're missing words. The others are not. So you had to pay attention. See? So you just open it up. It's a trifold. And then they're numbered, right? You see that? So number one, our blank is sin. So what is the blank? Our problem. Okay, so you got that? God is holy. Each of us is a sinner. God is without sin and must judge all who sin. And Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory or the approval of God. So it just explains it in a brief form here. Now, so that right here is problem. Then you go to number two, right? Number two, our what? No, we use a shorter word actually. Our penalty. Punishment would probably be good. That would work too, but our penalty. The first one is problem, Marv. Problem. Our penalty is number two. Notice here it says, I have Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, physical, spiritual, and eternal separation from God. Revelation 20, and I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's the penalty. Okay? Number three. Third tab. God's what? Provision. Yep. God's provision. And again, I encourage you to memorize this. Go over it till you know it. Once you get comfortable, you can do it any way you want. You know what I mean? You don't have to use the formal words. But I would memorize it this way. And then maybe you're talking to a little child. You can put it in words that they understand, but you're still covering the 5 points. Okay? God's provision. God sent His Son, Jesus, to pay for our sins and to take our penalty. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. And John 3:17, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Okay? So that's the third, the substitute. And you got the picture there, right? So you can see how your fingers go. Number four, God's, what do we say that was? The P word. Proof is the resurrection. Jesus proved that He was real and that His payment counted by rising from the dead. Matthew 28:5-6, that the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for He is risen, as He said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Right? Proof is the resurrection. And lastly, it's on the back panel here, my part. Believe on Jesus as my sin bearer. That's a term I use, but my substitute, my sin bearer. And I wrote down here, I can do nothing to save myself. I must believe that Jesus died and rose again for me to pay for my sins and make me right with God. That's a good way to say that. It's a summary statement. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is not hard. This is not complicated. It's easy to remember, but you have to do the work of memorizing it. This pamphlet will help you do that. So you can, okay, I don't remember. What do we do for that finger, okay? But if you do it, if you spend 10 minutes going through the hand motions, you will probably get it down. And then listen, go over it while you're driving. Go over it while you're going for a walk. All you got to do is remember to take a hand with you. I mean, and I'm being facetious. You don't have to remember to bring anything. Just review it. But you cannot share the gospel without knowing what the gospel is, what people have to believe to be saved, and then a plan to share it. And I encourage you, memorize this plan. It's accurate. It's clear. It's simple. It's easy to remember. And again, I never try to figure out what's the third point. I'm just like, oh, the third finger, that's the substitute, right? I don't have to remember it. I just, okay, substitute. And then proof and the belief. You just go through that enough times so that you have it and then repeat it a little bit and then you'll have it for good. Regularly review it, even if it's once a day at breakfast time. Review it. until you have it so that you can share the gospel with somebody. You have to have a plan. And maybe you won't be able to share the full thing, but you will be able to share the gospel with your grandkids, your kids, your friends, family, or even strangers that you meet, wherever you might be. And it's easy. The problem is sin. God is holy. I'm a sinner. The penalty, separation. We are in violation of God's holiness, and therefore we are condemned. We are not right with God, and therefore we are under God's judgment. Okay? We're separated from God. God's here. You're here. What did God do? Guess what? The good news is, I've told you all that to tell you this. The good news is, God provided someone to die for us. Jesus came and took my place on the cross. He took your place on the cross. He died for our sins. See, you don't even have to say provision or substitute, right? That's just to help you memorize the outline. And then what did God do to prove that Jesus is who He says He was and that our sins are paid for? Jesus rose again. He's the real thing. He's alive today. His tomb is empty. Pardon me? Number three is provision. What God provided. Yep. God's provision. The proof is the resurrection. And my part, what must I do? Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Right? That's what I think in my mind. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll be saved. You have to believe that what God says is true. You have to take what God says is true for you. Okay? And you have the fancy cheater pamphlet so you can go over it again. Okay, let's go over it one more time. We got like 2 minutes. Man, we could go over it like 8 times if we really wanted to. Let's do it one more time, okay? Okay. There's more to it. This is simplified, but it was like, okay, if people, you couldn't explain it, this does a good job of giving them I believe someone could get saved off of this. If there's enough information, it's clear enough, it's accurate enough that people can do that. It doesn't confuse things, it doesn't do that, but there's more to it if you want it, okay? All right, the problem is sin, right? God is holy, and I'm a sinner. John 3:3, Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." What I usually say about that is, you're not right the way you are. God said that to a religious leader even. We're not right the way we are. We can't even see the kingdom of God. And Romans 3:23, I usually use verse 22 too, "For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." For there's no difference is the last part of verse 22. "For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." The problem is sin. God is holy. We're sinners. Now, because we're sinners, there's a penalty. Separation. We're separated from God. By the way, you don't have to do this either when you're talking. You know, you can just go like this. You know, it just reminds you, right? That's the idea. It gets reminded. But the penalty is separation. Because we've sinned, we're separated from God. We're not right with God. And there's a penalty. God says that we will be judged for our sins. All right? For the wages of sin is death. Right? And you can say what? You can even go on and say the rest of the verse. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. God provided a substitute. The Bible says that God sent His Son to die on the cross for us, for our sins, so that He paid for our sins. He paid, took our penalty. Okay? So that we could be saved. So God is holy. He had to judge sin, and He did. He judged Jesus instead of us. How do we know it's true? Oh, by the way, Romans 5:8, for example, "But God commends His own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Or you could say, the gospel is Christ died for our sins, right? According to the Scriptures. That's 1 Corinthians 15:3. How do we know it's true? Matthew 28:6. "For He is not here, For He is risen, as He said. Right? The resurrection. Jesus rose again. He's the real thing. He's the Son of God. He paid the penalty. He rose again. The resurrection proves that what He said is true. What must I do? What does the Bible say you must do in order to be saved? You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. That He, what? Died for you and rose again, right? And it covers our 3 points. A sin problem, specific person, and a substitutionary payment and resurrection. Number four is proof. Resurrection. Proof. Boing. Yeah, boing is the unofficial word. Bear like that too. Boing. Bear would always chortle or anything. All right. What must you do in order to share the gospel? You must memorize the gospel, right? Does it have to be complicated or hard? No. You just have to go over it and over it in this simple format even. And then to the point where you can share it. And guess what? You get to know it to the point you can just converse. And you can sit there and think about your thumb and your fingers. And you don't have to move them or whatever. I've stood and talked to people while I go down my fingers. Just so that I know I'm covering all the bases. So that's the idea, you know what I mean? You don't have to do all this. That's just to help you remember and understand it so that you can share it with other people. You can think it in your head. Like, why do you do that? It's like, I'm just thinking of something, you know, or whatever. Or you could do the motions. Teach them that. Slide. Hey, let me teach you something I learned in church today. It's pretty cool. That's a good way to share the gospel, right? And then they know it and they can memorize it too. So we've taught the children even to do that. It's an easy one. Again, it takes a little bit of time, but not a lot of time. And you don't have to remember rote memory points. 1 point leads to the next, leads to the next, leads to the next. The fingers are even in order for you. Okay? Questions or comments? Yes, I believe that.
And the spiritual death and that eternal death, they don't have no fellowship.
Right, it's broken. That's the idea. There's separation. Yeah. God, even now, if a person's unsaved, the Bible says they're spiritually dead. They're disconnected from God. And God has reconciled Himself to them through Jesus Christ, but they're still turned the other way. They need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for the Word of God. Help us to learn the gospel and a method to share the gospel so that we might first, Lord, be grounded ourselves, but also be able to share the gospel with other people. And then, Lord, help us to do that. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.